if he sat with Maybanks, as he says, and yet cannot describe the room and accessories accurately, what confidence can we have that his report of the séance itself is accurate? I say that any investigator who bring 8 charges of so serious a nature against 2 unprotected women, and cannot substantiate them up to the hilt by giving a full and accurate description of the room, and especially doors, windows, and table, is unworthy of credence, and also a person whose evidence on psychic, or any other, matters is of no value whatever. The following is the correspondence in light referring to page 346 of this book. In psychic investigation, one is truly between the devil and the deep sea if one believes in and champions a medium, as I did in the case of Eusapia Palladino. One is either a poor observer or in league with the medium. On the other hand, if one discovers fraud, one is equally at fault, a villainous medium hunter who is not honest in his findings. Surely, one is sailing between Sire and Charybdis here, and far worse. I feel I must reply as briefly as possible to Vice Admiral W. Usbourne Moore's articles in recent issues of Light, to which Dr. Funk has called my attention. If I am at fault for not sending a copy of my report to the Bang sisters, surely Admiral Moore is equally at fault for not sending me a copy of his criticism, for I do not always see Light. As a matter of fact, however, I regard it as nonsense to send a copy of a report to every medium exposed. I could go through Admiral Moore's reports, if I chose to do so, and point out exactly where, in my opinion, the fraud crept in his slate writing sittings, but it is hardly necessary. I do not consider them genuine, and Admiral Moore does. Others besides myself have detected fraud. Admiral Moore did not. Let the matter rest there. If the Bangs sisters would ever consent to give sittings under really test conditions, I should be most happy, and stand willing to investigate them with the utmost care and patience, and to publish a favorable report, should I fail to detect fraud, as I did not hesitate to do in the case of Eusapia. I have no grudge against the Bangs sisters, indeed, their work interests me immensely. I must correct 1 or 2 statements in my own report which have led to just criticism. 1. I said there was a slit in the door behind Miss Bangs. There is, or was, no such slit. What I meant was under the door, between the lower edge of the door and the strip of wood over which it closes. This was, I should judge, 2/3 of an inch at one end, tapering to 1/2 an inch at the other. This existed when I was there, and doubtless still exists. 2. As to the strip of wood dividing the windows, I might have expressed this more clearly. There is one window, as Admiral Moore says. It looks out onto their back garden. There are 4 panes of glass, 2 in the top portion and 2 in the bottom. These panes of glass are divided by a strip of wood about 1 inch broad. This was the strip of wood I found freely punctured with tiny holes. However, inasmuch as I stated that I did not consider these holes of any special significance, I fail to see why so much stress was placed upon this. As to my being in Chicago at the time, Admiral Moore's doubts as to this are most curious. Perhaps Dr. Funk would confirm this fact, or Mrs. Francis, the widow of the late John A. Francis, editor of the Progressive Thinker, on whom I called. Or would the canvas which I bought from the Bangs sisters at the time, and still have, convince Admiral Moore? They say that seeing is believing, and it truly is in Admiral Moore's case, in more senses than one. Finally, I wish to say this: if this portrait phenomenon can, under virtually the same conditions, be duplicated by fraud, then, surely, its evidential value vanishes. If it could be shown that phenomena, precisely similar to Eusapia's, could be produced by trickery, hitherto unsuspected, then I should give up my belief in her at once. I still believe in her powers because no such proof has been forthcoming. But in the case of the Bangs sisters it is a little different. For years these spirit portraits were the wonder and the envy of all the conjurers and mediums in America. Attempts were made to duplicate their work, without success. I myself was on the fence regarding their portraits, and so stated in my report. After I had my sittings, Mr. David P. Abbott and myself worked together over this problem. But I was forced to stop at the time, owing to press of other matters, and Mr. Abbott continued his experiments alone. I think I am safe in saying that he has now succeeded in duplicating the Bangs sisters' portraits exactly, and by trickery. No chemicals are used, no solar photography, no spraying, nothing of the kind. Two canvases are selected, marked, and placed upon a light easel, which is examined. A bright arc lamp is placed behind the canvases. Investigators may walk around the canvas during the entire process. They may look above, below, behind, on all sides. A picture slowly forms on the inside, between the two canvases, which picture has the same finish and texture as the Bangs portraits. It can be made to appear slowly, the eyes to open at will, etc., exactly as their pictures do. The process is, in fact, from all external indications, identical in appearance. In view of this fact, I think the authenticity of the Bangs spirit portraits may seriously be called into question. As to their slate writing, I am certain I could duplicate it myself, under the same conditions. Yours, etc., Head Carrington. Sir, I beg to forward to you a letter I have just received from the well-known author and psychic investigator, Reverend I. K. Funk, D.D. There is no doubt Dr. Funk did ask Mr. Head Carrington to visit the Bangs sisters. The question is, did he ever enter the house? The Bangs sisters deny that he did. Lizzie assured me most positively that she would have recognized him, and that they had never sat for him at any time. Personally, from what I know of both, I see no reason to take the word of Mr. Head Carrington before that of Lizzie Bangs. What Dr. Funk calls slate writing is the phenomenon of spirit writing within sealed envelopes put between hinged slates, not the slate writing we are accustomed to hear of through Eglinton, Keeler, the Campbells, etc., yours, etc., Moore, W. Usborne Vice Admiral. The following is Dr. Funk's letter, my dear Admiral, yours to hand in reference to the article by Mr. Carrington, in the Annals of Psychical Science, concerning the Bangs sisters. I made a number of tests of the mediumship of these sisters, both as to picture painting and slate writing. I cheerfully bear testimony that I have not had to do with any other mediums who have been able to give me invariably so satisfactory results. In not a single case have I detected fraud, although before my first visit to them I had read carefully the expose by Dr. Krebs, which was furnished to me by Dr. Hodgson. They certainly did not attempt upon me any of the frauds described by Dr. Krebs, nor did they any of the tricks spoken of by Mr. Carrington. Having been forewarned against them, I would have been an unusually stupid investigator had I been caught by them. It has been my custom in making investigations, especially when I was not able to explain results, to induce others whom I believe to be keen investigators to make trial, and I would often indicate the particular tests for them to make. I asked Mr. Carrington to visit the Mrs. Bangs and make certain investigations, as I asked you and others. I never asked anyone to visit a medium under a false name, for I have been long believed that fraud begets fraud in these investigations. When I have completed my investigations with these remarkable mediums, I shall gladly publish the exact results. You are at liberty to make any use of this letter that you think fit. Yours most respectfully, signed, I. K. Funk. New York, April 18, 1911. From Light, May 27, 1911. Mr. Head Carrington and Fraud Sir, Mr. Carrington calmly states in Light of May 13, p. 226, I said there was a slit in the door behind Miss Bangs. There is, or was, no such slit. What I meant was under the door, between the lower edge of the door and the strip of wood over which it closes, too. As to the strip of wood dividing the windows, I might have expressed this more clearly. There is one window, as Admiral Moore says there are four panes of glass. These panes of glass are divided by a strip of wood about an inch broad. This was the strip of wood I found freely punctured with tiny holes, etc. Here are strange admissions. In a door means under a door, windows means panes of glass. I will deal with this portion of his letter first. I examined this room in 1909, 3 months before Mr. Carrington's alleged visit, and in 1911. Nothing had been altered. I assert without the smallest fear of future contradiction that, 1. Under the door there is a space of a trifle less than 1/3 of an inch, uniform throughout its entire breadth, no tapering, 2. That this space over the threshold is no more than sufficient for the rug which is laid over the threshold, should the Bangs sisters ever put there a Turkey carpet, or even an Axminster with felt underneath, they would have to cut the threshold away or cut more wood from the bottom of the door. 3. The batten which separates the panes of glass is not an inch thick, or nearly that. 4. There are no suspicious holes in it. 5. This window is in full view from Wood Street, the Bangs sisters' house being at a corner. Now we go on. As to my being at Chicago at the time. This is a red herring drawn across the trail with a vengeance. I have never said he was not at Chicago. He was there, and, I have no doubt, had a good time. The question is, was he ever inside the Bangs house? I believe not, for his plan is wrong, and his subsequent attempts at explanation are childish. Or would the canvas which I bought from the Bangs sisters at the time, and still have, convince Admiral Moore? 9. Answer, no, it would not convince Admiral Moore, who knows that there are several stores where these canvases can be bought in Chicago. I understand that the Bang sisters did not sell him any canvas. Let him produce their receipt for the money he paid for it. I have no personal animus against Mr. Head Carrington. I do not know him personally. If he can give a correct plan of the room and state what furniture is in it, which I believe it is not in his power to do, I am not going to press him hard as to errors of an inch or two here and there, and I may come to the conclusion that he has been inside the house. But even then we shall not have got very far, for the mistakes he has already made in his article, and in his letter to which I am now replying, place him in the very worst light as an observer of psychical or any other sort of phenomena. As Mr. Carrington contributes to light, and is agent for the annals of psychical science in the United States, was it not reasonable to suppose that he had read my charges against him in your issues of December 17, 1910, March 25, 1911, and April 1, 1911? If anybody ought to have sent him these papers, it was the editor of the magazine in which he published his disingenuous article. He mentions Mr. Francis. I have a letter from that gentleman, dated September 16, 1909, 3 months after the visit of Mr. Carrington to Chicago, in which he says, I wish to say to you in all candor that I believe that there, the Bangs sisters, spirit paintings are genuine productions originating from the spirit world. The italics are those of Mr. Francis. I will deposit the letter with you if you desire it. The last two paragraphs of Mr. Carrington's letter contain another red herring. The Abbot Marriott trick is well known in England. I have seen it often, and it surpasses in skill almost every conjuring trick I have ever witnessed. When my friends ask me how the Bangs pictures appear to come, I say, go and see Dr. Wilmer's spirit paintings, but the conditions no more resemble the Bangs sisters' conditions than a locomotive boiler resembles a teapot. The operator must have a heavy easel, and the picture comes on the wrong canvas. The method is known to me, and was known to me before I met Dr. Wilmer. It was found out by an exhibition of my own models, and by one of our best trance mediums, whose modesty prevents me naming him, about the time it was discovered by Mr. David Abbott. I respect Mr. Abbott. He candidly owns that all his theories about the Bang sisters' pictures previous to 1909 were entirely erroneous. I ask myself this plain question. Why has not this diligent conjurer been to sit with the Bang sisters? He lives within a reasonable distance. If he does sit with them, he will find his latest theory as rotten as his previous ones. In conclusion, I have only to say that the Bangs sisters do not sit for slate writing, and that no psychic in the United States I have met cares a button whether Mr. Head Carrington believes in him or not. He has no influence, and cannot forward the tenets of spiritism by a hair's breadth. I have not yet done with this S.P. ear. Expert, but my letter is, I fear, already too long. I can wait. Yours, etc., W. Usman Moore, Vice Admiral. 8 Western Parade, South Sea. May 13, 1911. In the following issue of Light, June 3, 1911, the editor closed the correspondence on this subject, at the same time inviting Mr. Carrington to reply in his columns to the above letter. There has been no response up to date, August 10, 1911. W. U. M. Appendix D. A good instance of fraud combined with genuine phenomena. 1 Kings 13. 7, 30 to Mackay. 7. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. 8. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. 9. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water, neither return by the way that thou camest. 10. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and one of his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them also they told unto their father. 12. And their father said unto them, What way went he? Now his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. 13. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. 14. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak, and he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. 15. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. 16. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. 17. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. 18. And he said unto him, I also am a prophet as thou art, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. 19. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. 20. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. 21. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Forasmuch as thou hast been disobedient unto the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee. 22. But camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which he said to thee, Eat no bread, and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. 23. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. 24. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. 25. And, behold, men passed by, and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. 26. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God, who was disobedient unto the mouth of the Lord, therefore the Lord bath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him, and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. 27. And he spake unto his sons, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled it. 28. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. 29. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back, and he came to the city of the old prophet, to mourn, and to bury him. 30. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. 31. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his sons, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried, lay my bones beside his bones. 32. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, shall surely come to pass.